Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, ain't it? Amen. How many of you are glad you're saved this morning? Say amen. I'd rather be saved than anything in this world that I can think of. I'd rather be here in the presence of the Lord than any place on the earth that I can think of. God's made a lot of beautiful places for us to be. A lot of places we could go. God's given us health and strength to travel and do many things in life. But the greatest place I've ever found on the earth is right where the presence of the Lord is, in His house, somewhere worshiping Him. I'd rather be with you folks than I would be with anybody on the earth. I'm telling you, that's the greatest privilege that I could think of this morning. I appreciate the church allowing me this honor and the privilege to be here this morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. I appreciate that. I don't take it very lightly at all when I'm invited to be able to preach somewhere or be with God's people. And or fill in for a pastor or whatever it might be. I consider it a great privilege and a great honor, and I don't take it lightly. But I'd like to, hopefully we'll be able to say something today that will be a blessing and a help to each of you here this morning. I want you to do something right quick. We've already fellowshiped. We've all shook hands. I want you to do one thing. I want you to take a deep breath. Just relax. Just relax. Get your mind and your heart centered upon Him. And let Jesus this morning speak to you. And whatever the Holy Spirit of God says for you to do, that'll be just fine. Just know that this altar is always open. I don't care if I'm preaching or whatever's going on. If you feel the need to come over here and pray, you pray. It's not going to bother me one bit. All I desire is to just worship God and be in His presence and to see God move and see people get help. For I need help this morning. I came to get help. Every time I come to the house of God, I come looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. All right, our pastor for the last several weeks has been preaching great messages on ever-increasing faith. And I don't know about you, but I've been soaking everything up like a sponge. And God has blessed me and helped me through the preaching of the Word of God and through our pastor. And I want to share something with you this morning on this subject, uncommon faith. Uncommon faith. As you read through your Bible, you'll meet a lot of different people in many different situations, most of which are just like you and me. And most of their situations and circumstances were absolutely no different than what we find ourselves in many times. But as you read through your Bible, we come across some folks every once in a while that just have uncommon faith. And I want to preach to you by the help of the Lord this morning on one of those people. And the Bible just calls her a Shunammite woman. Turn with me, if you will, first of all, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. We'll open up there, and then we'll go to 2 Kings, chapter number 4. And that's where we're going to take our message from this morning. But by way of introduction, I'd like for you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Just want to read about three verses of Scripture, and then we'll get right on into the message this morning. Hebrews chapter number 10, but before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for the privilege to be here. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for each and every soul that's come this way this morning. And now I pray in Jesus' name that you'd meet with us for the next while, Lord, and you'll do that only you can do in all of our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name I pray. Have your way, Lord, that you may have all glory and praise and honor to yourself and all attention is given to thee, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hebrews chapter number 10, look with me down at verse number 21. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. The Bible tells us in verse number 22 that we are to draw near to God with a true heart, with full assurance of faith. And we have a high priest in verse 21. Of course, he is the Lord Jesus Christ, none other than him. He's over us all, and we can go to him in full assurance every single time that we pray. Every one of us here this morning, if you're saved by the grace of God, every one of us here this morning has been given a measure of faith. We receive faith when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as our Savior. It was by faith that God saved each and every one of us here this morning. It's the same way with every sinner on the earth. If they ever get saved, they'll get saved by the measure of faith that God has given each one of them to receive Christ as their Savior. But then he goes on, and the Bible tells us that we're to ever increase our faith and that we could always go to him in full assurance that he is going to answer our prayer. Now, turn with me over to the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4. 2 Kings, chapter number 4. In chapter number 3, we learn about a man called Elijah, great prophet of God. The Bible tells us that there was a servant that went with him named Elisha. And Elijah, there came a time that he was getting ready to leave out of here. And so he asked his servant Elisha, he said, there's one thing that you'd like to have. He said, what would that be? And he said, Father, he said, Elijah, I'd like to have a double portion of what you got. And he said, well, you've asked a hard thing, but if you're with me when I leave out, he said, it'll be done. And so he stuck right with him up till he left. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened to Elisha. Now you turn with me over to chapter 4. And we find a story of Elisha, and he's got a servant with him named Gehazi. Now the Bible, let's go down to verse number 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And he said unto her husband, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick, and it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And she said unto, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou to be spoken for the king, spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host, and she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Now I want to stop right there for just a moment. The man of God had told her, you're going to have a child, but he didn't tell her what was going to happen. She told him, she said, don't lie to me. She said, I'm not able to have children. I'm past the time. He said, by the season of life, he said, on that day, you're going to have a child. He looked past everything that this woman had been through in her life, and he went straight to her heart. He perceived within that in her heart she desired to have a child. She wanted a child. And besides all that, she had been honorable to the man of God. She had taken care of him and Gehazi every time they passed by. She took notice of them. And she sensed that these are not just ordinary people. May I say that today that Jesus Christ is not just an ordinary man. He's extraordinary, extraordinary. Everything about Christ Jesus is extraordinary and it's different. He's different. She took notice of this and she said to her husband, said, let's just prepare him a little table, a little place over here where they can come and rest and get something to eat every day. So as they passed by, she built this little chamber, her and her husband did, and then they just turned right in and they made themselves at home. And over a period of time, they wanted to do something to help her, to be in return to her. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Greater love could nobody do for this woman than to give her a child of her heart that she was wanting to have. He looked right into that. And it made it possible that she could have this child. She had a son. But the Bible said it fell on a day that when the son grew up, he went out to work in the field, and he fell ill. I find it kind of strange that her husband said, well, okay, told one of the servants there, said, take him back to the house to his mama, let her see if she can take care of him. So he takes him back up there to the house. He sat on her lap until, I don't know, maybe it was a couple of hours, and he died. Just died. Now, I can't even imagine the pain that she must have felt. I can't even imagine the confusion that must have been going through her mind when this awful incident happened. But she does something that's extraordinary. Number one is she just takes the child, the dead child, up to where the little chamber was, where she had the bed, the table, the chair for the man of God, and she just laid him up on the bed, and she went out and she shut the door. She didn't say nothing. Most people would be screaming and crying. Most people would have been hollering and accusing the preacher. They would have been accusing God. They'd have been doing all kinds of things, but not her. Not her. She just goes up there. She just lays this dead son on the bed of the man of God, on the little chamber that they had prepared for him now. Think about that for a minute. Verse number 22. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." I want you to notice something. She says, he wasn't there at the time, of course. But she knew where he was, and so she said, "I'm going to go to him," and she said, "I'm going to come again. I'm going to him, and I'm going to come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither noon, new moon, nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well. It is well." Uncommon faith. All of us here today could take a lesson from this dear woman, who was no different than any of us here today. Not a bit. But she had uncommon faith. The Bible said in verse number 24, or verse number 27 rather, "And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away." Now wait a minute. He don't understand what in the world's going on. Elisha don't really, he kind of perceives there's something going on here, but he's not real sure what it is. So Gehazi's going to thrust her away from him. He said, whoa, hold on a minute, hold on a minute. He said, "And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I desire a son of my Lord?'" Now she's putting some hard questions to him. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to tell you something right here. I'm going to pause right here for a minute. I was told for years in church, and I about halfway believed it, we don't question God. Many have probably heard the same thing. You don't question God. You don't ask God why. Well, contrary to what I was told and what I was taught, many experiences in my own life, I found myself asking God why. Why? Many times in my life, I've questioned God as to the reason why something was happening. Sometimes he's given me the answer, and sometimes he's not. Sometimes he's given me the answer right away, and sometimes it's been months went by before I could ever find the answer. But nevertheless, God has always and will always answer our question. And yes, contrary to what many of us have probably been taught or told, it's all right. If you don't believe me, go to Psalm 42 and you'll find out. David asked, I don't know how many questions as to why something was happening. I want you to listen carefully to what she starts to say. Verse 28. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? That's her first question. Did I not say, do not deceive me? Boy, she hits him point blank. She ain't holding back nothing. Then he said to Gehazi, verse 29, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. I want you to notice the next thing she does, she stays with the man of God. It pays to stay with Jesus. Yes, it's hard sometimes. Yes, there's hard questions. Yes, it's very difficult to find an answer. But through it all, it pays to stay with Christ. Through it all. It's an old song about that. I've decided to follow Jesus. So then, verse number 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her, and Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore, and shut the door up on them twain. I want you to notice something. Sometimes when you're facing things too hard for you to understand or too big for you, and we go to Jesus, Him and the Father are going to work it out. All we have to do is sit outside, wait to see what's going to happen. This woman, I believe, the Bible don't say this, but I believe this. You can believe anything you want to. I believe she was standing right outside the door. She might have been kneeling outside the door. I don't know what she might have been doing, but she was right there. She didn't go nowhere. And she stuck right with the man of God till they went on back over to the house, to the chamber, to that son, that boy. Now, when Elijah went in there, he shut the door. There wasn't nobody in there. Gehazi wasn't in there. His servant wasn't in there. He was outside. Wasn't nobody in that place, in that room. But the man of God and that dead boy. And I mean he's graveyard dead, brother. The Bible said, and when Elisha was coming to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." And so he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." I don't know how long of a period of time it was between all this happening. I don't know the time period. Bible don't tell us. But the extraordinary, uncommon faith of this woman, she never accused God. She never accused the man of God. She never lost it. But she stayed right true. She never talked about it. She went straight to where she had to go and straight back. He calls her in. He says, "You take him up." In verse number 37, then she went in. I want you to notice the next thing she does. She went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Her prayer was answered. The desire of her heart was fulfilled exactly the way God had told her through the man of God. Everything that God does, as hard and as difficult as it is for you and I to comprehend and even sometimes believe, everything that God does is right on time. Exactly right. Extraordinary faith. Verse number 23, recap it just a little bit. She says, "It shall be well." Verse 26, "It is well." Verse 27, "She has a broken heart." Verse 28, "She asked why." Verse 37, "Her prayer is answered, and she gets the desires of her heart." I don't know how much longer that this young man lived after that happened. I don't know what all may have taken place or didn't taken place. All that, anything I would say beyond this would be just speculation. I don't have any idea. You can think whatever you want to, and so can I. We can speculate all day. The point I'm trying to make to you this morning is uncommon faith. Sometimes in your life, if it hasn't happened already, it will. One day, the Bible goes on to tell another thing right here in this passage of Scripture, and it fell on a day. 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 We don't know from one day to the next what's going to happen. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't have any idea. But the Bible says it right through the passages I just read, and it fell on a day. It may fall tomorrow. Something happens here or happens there. And we don't know what in the world we're going to have to face. But thank God, aren't you glad that we can take full assurance of faith? The faith that Jesus gave us all here this morning to receive Him we can build up on it and increase it and then increase it. And like the pastor said, keep increasing, keep increasing, keep increasing. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. One day, it'll fall on a day, it'll be uncommon. It takes uncommon faith sometimes, many times rather, to trust God. But we find here an example of one of our sisters who had uncommon faith. And as a result, all that she went through, all the pain, all the hurt, all the confusion came to an end, and it was all clear to her. She fell down at the man of God's feet, and she worshiped, and she took up her son. She got the answer that she was looking for. What about you this morning? What are you searching for this morning? Let me ask you this question. What's going on in your heart? What's happening in your life? What's taking place in your family that you ask why? Some of you may be here this morning and you've got a broken heart. You've got all kinds of questions. Can I tell you about one who has all the answers? His name is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, thank God, through it all, I've learned to trust in God. I've learned that everything He says and everything He does is right. Whether I understand it, believe it or not, it's right, amen. Some of you here this morning, you're going through impossible situations. I know some of you. But you're not alone. So am I. And our Lord knows the answer. He has the answer. The problem is your faith. Your faith. The faith that He gave you way back when you received Him will either get stronger and stronger and stronger, or to get weak and weaker. I don't know about you. I came to realize a long time ago. Brother Frank got up here and poured his heart out last week. And I knew exactly where he was coming from when he was talking about there had been times he thought about giving it up. Just quit. So have I. Been many times. I've seen good men. Good men that I love fall and go down in this war. I've had impossible situations, one after the other, that there was no answer to. I didn't know which way to turn. Didn't know which way to go. But I just kept it to myself, between me and Him. I took a lesson from this woman. I just kept it to myself. Kept on trusting Him. Don't ask me how. I can't tell you. Don't ask me what took place. I can't answer. All I can say is I'm here. Only by the grace of God. Amen. Only by His mercy. Yes. Only through His providence am I here. No other reason. And I found out I don't need another reason. He's all I need. Amen. And I can honestly say today, and I can look you straight in the eye, and I can tell each of you, He's all you need. As you read your Bible, and you come across these are your brethren, your sisters. They're dead and gone. They're in heaven now. They're with Him. And one day we're going to be there. Through it all. Every head bowed, every eye closed, there's a joy.